we get things underway by welcoming in from WEEI in Boston, our friend Ryan Hannibal. Hello there, Ryan.
How's it going, Rick?
Going well, thanks. Ready for some interesting football coming up on Sunday with the Patriots and the Browns. The Patriots suddenly a half game out in the AFC East. What happened?
It's kind of crazy this year. You look at the AFC, every single week there seems to be a team that has a terrible loss. But, the Bills last week with the Jaguars, and I guess last night with the Ravens against the Dolphins. So I guess anything can happen in this league, especially in the AFC, and there's obviously no team running away with it. And so that makes every game, very important, which I think this week's game against the Browns is their biggest of the season so far. They're both 5-4, and, a win for either team could go a long way when it comes to their playoff chances. So not many people are people talk about this as being a big game, but I think it's a much bigger game than many people are saying.
And what this team has clearly figured out over the last 3 weeks is that the strength is on the defense, and this is maybe even a better defensive unit than we thought early on.
Yeah, I think that it's taken a while, but this is the kind of team that we thought we were going to see, in the first part of the season, led by their defense, like you mentioned. And the thing the last couple of weeks is they've been forcing turnovers and even getting defensive scores, which has gone a long way, sort of just allowing Mac Jones to be the game manager that we all expected him to be, sort of like Tom Brady was in the early 2000s, and that was sort of the comp going into the year, and now we're starting to see it. And I would also lump the running game into that too. They've become a run first offense that, the offensive line has been better of late. So that's been a key component to the run game getting going. And I guess while we're on that topic, that'll be one of the focuses for this week, with Ramondre Stevenson and Damien Harris questionable with concussion. So if those two can't go, that means it's going to be all on Brandon Bolden and JJ Taylor's shoulders, which hasn't been their main roles this year, but it will be come Sunday.
Yeah, 12 players are listed as questionable. Jamie Collins doubtful. And how does that change the game plan?
I don't think it'll change much, because it's not like, the Patriots can go five wide and allow Mac Jones to kind of pick Cleveland's defense apart. That's just not who they are. So I think that they will just stick to what they're good at, and it's that run game. And it probably means more carries from Brandon Bolden, which he's taken advantage of his opportunity as a third down back, but now it'll be more of a, every down back, and we'll see what he does. He's done well so far, and I don't think the team has any reason to believe he won't continue that success. And then J.J. Taylor, the second year back, will probably get more carries, and we'll see what the other two. You never really know with concussions. They're in the concussion protocol. They could potentially be cleared by the game. We don't really know, but, in the meantime, you just kind of have to rely on Bolden and Taylor.
We're talking with Ryan Hannibal here on Downtown. OBJ is signed. Odell Beckham Jr. Going to the Rams. Was there ever a real possibility of him coming to New England?
I don't really think so. I mean, obviously, they would never have claimed him on waivers because of the contract. But then when he was a free agent, I'm sure they made, their due diligence phone call like they always do. And I'm sure, OBJ had some nice things to say about Bill Belichick. But it's not like Tom Brady is their quarterback and he'd be coming to play with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. It's just Bill Belichick and rookie quarterback. And when you look at some of his other options, around the league, whether it's the Rams that he went to, or even Green Bay or Seattle or New Orleans or Kansas City, those are just better options right now for him. And frankly, I think for the Patriots, he wouldn't have worked out here. I think that it would have kind of shook up the locker room. You're on a three-game winning streak. You're playing your best football of the season. And to add him into the mix would have been tough. And I think especially for Mac Jones, who has enough on his plate to figure out how to be an NFL quarterback as a rookie, than having to deal with pleasing, a diva wide receiver in Odell Beckham, it just would have been tough. So I don't think it was really ever a major consideration. Sure, they made a few phone calls, but I don't think they were ever, one of OBJ's, top teams that he was considering.
Cam Newton has found a new old home going back to Carolina, and you wrote about this. How does that signing potentially help New England?
Yeah, it's minor, but they do get the $1.5 million salary back because he signed with another team, and that goes on next year's salary cap, not this year, so it doesn't really impact things, for the short term, but it does add $1.5 million to their books for next year, which, could potentially be, a role player salary. So it definitely helps the Patriots that he was signed by another team and didn't go the year without playing.
So let's talk about this Browns team. They come in with a 5-4 record as well. What's their strength?
Definitely their running game. They have one of the better offensive lines in football. But like the Patriots, they have some injuries to their running back position too. Nick Chubb, who is their best running back, was ruled out today by their team because of COVID, and then Kareem Hunt is on injured reserve. So they really don't have, you know, their best running backs, and they're going to have to go with D'Ernest Johnson, who's a veteran, who's been around the league a little bit but hasn't really broke out. But it's kind of like the Patriots, where they're not going to go and do things differently, I would suspect. They're going to continue to ride their running game and ride their powerful offensive line. So it'll be a battle of team strength, just with not their, you know, key players at those positions with all the running backs being out.
Is there a little more pressure on Mac Jones if he's without some of those key runners?
Yeah, I would say so. They're going to have to just rely on the pass game probably a little bit more. I mean, like I said, they're not going to go five wide, but, you know, you can't just rely on Brandon Bolden and J.J. Taylor to carry you to victory if those other two guys don't play. So there probably will be a little bit more, you know, in the passing game. But I would also expect Josh McDaniels to kind of, you know, cater that to Mac Jones and have it be, you know, short passes over the middle, some quick outs, get the tight ends involved more. So it won't be, you know, like they're going to ask Mac Jones to throw the ball, you know, 30, 40 yards down the field every play. It'll feel a little bit more in the pass game, and especially, like I said, those tight ends could have bigger roles.
So back when they were 1-4, I made what some people thought was a ludicrous statement at the time, and I said I thought there was still a path to 9 or 10 wins for this team back then. And now as I look at the schedule, I think 9 or 10 is fairly easily done, and I could see them getting 11 wins.
Well, props to you for being ahead of the game right there. I can see that too. I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule, like it kind of, like we said off the top, the AFC is so weird this year that you can't really pencil in games as being wins. But you look at the rest of the schedule, I think it does them some favors where their biggest games are at home, which is always good. I know they haven't played well at home this year, but I think, you know, that's going to change. But then you have games against, you know, the Jaguars. That Miami game is probably winnable. The Colts aren't playing as well. And, you know, look at the teams that they've beat in the last couple of weeks, the Chargers and the Panthers. That shows that they can go out and really compete, you know, with all the teams that are left on their schedule. Buffalo's not playing as well as they were earlier in the year. So I think every game on their schedule is winnable, and they've proven that they can win, you know, any game. And look at those Bucks and Cowboys games. I think that, you know, people were looking at those as moral victories back then, and now you can kind of say, well, maybe they were just a play or two away from winning those games, and it wasn't just, you know, a media-driven story that those were moral victories. Maybe they were that close to winning. So the Patriots are on the right track, and I'm with you. I really wouldn't be surprised if he double-digit wins.
Of course, as the Ravens reminded us again last night, you can't take anything for granted this year in the league.
Absolutely not. And, you know, that Miami team, that loss in week one that the Patriots had looked like a very bad loss, you know, for the last couple weeks, but they've won two games in a row now and beat the Ravens in convincing fashion last night. So who knows? Maybe that wasn't as bad of a loss as we sort of thought.
Ryan Hannibal, WEEI in Boston. Ryan, appreciate you making some time for us this afternoon. Enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll catch you again soon.
You too, Rich. Thanks a lot.
Talking Patriots here on Downtown as we kick it off on a Friday shift.